Turn your Bible this morning, Galatians chapter 3. Book of Galatians chapter 3. About 5 years ago, I did a series on principles of Christian growth or spiritual growth, and I'm going to repeat that in a modified form, a little bit different. So we'll see how far we get this morning, but we're going to begin that. Tonight we'll finish our series on what manner of man is this and the significance of Jesus Christ right now to us. But this morning, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. For that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. That is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Paul writes in Romans that wherefore is being justified by faith. So we are justified, made right, we are saved, born again. It is by faith, by grace, through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not works of righteousness which we've done, but by his mercy he saved us. So we know that salvation comes by faith, but we are to live by faith. It says the just, those people who are saved, live by faith. It's repeated four times in Scripture, so I think it must be important if it's repeated four different times. It's in Romans 1:17, where it says that it's written, the just shall live by faith. It goes back to the book of Habakkuk, where it was written, the just shall live by faith. And the context of Habakkuk is, it was just prior to the Babylonian captivity, so the children of Israel were not, as a nation, were not living right. There were idols, they were not keeping the Sabbath, and so on. And Habakkuk was concerned as a prophet, and he said, how can we go on? How can this exist? And the Lord's message was, in spite of the wickedness of this day, the just shall live by faith. You know, it's a reminder in the day in which we live. Doesn't matter what happens in the world, we still live by faith. It's also in Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. The Bible is filled with commands, do this, this is right, this is wrong. There are warnings in Scripture that if you don't do this or if you do the wrong thing, there's a warning, judgment could come. But there are also principles by which we should live. There are foundational things. The book of Proverbs is filled with Bible principles. These are things that we should do. So when we are saved, once we know the Lord and we're justified by faith, we have to learn those biblical principles by which we should live. And there are many foundational truths. But it begins with a matter of faith. We're saved by faith, and we live by faith. That faith, from faith to faith, or one level of faith to another level of faith, as Scripture says. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I don't know how you can get around that. There's no way to interpret it any differently, that it is impossible to please God without faith. So we realize the importance of faith in our Christian life. We are to live by faith. However, what is faith? Do you ever have a decision you had to make and you ask yourself the question, is this God telling me this or is this the devil? You know, should I do this or should I not do this? Sometimes it's hard to know what is faith. And I remind you, many people in Scripture had difficulty discerning. Is this the will of God? Is this what he wants? And they were very cautious about this matter of faith. Sometimes we step out in foolishness rather than faith. So there's a very thin line of discernment sometimes. However, faith is always built upon and based upon Scripture, on the Word of God. If our faith is not based on facts, then it's based on conjecture, superstition, speculation, or presumption. And that was not faith at all. Sometimes people will have a thought that enters their mind and they say, God's telling me something. And sometimes I just cringe when people say, God told me something. When I know they didn't hear a voice from God, but there was some thought came through their mind and they felt it was from God. The problem with that is the devil puts thoughts in our minds too. And we have to be discerning. And some of those thoughts seem to be good thoughts, and yet it leads us astray. So we have to be discerning. True faith is built not on speculation, but on substance. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, and I'll let you kind of stay there, hang out there. We're going to come back to it, but we're going to read just one verse to start with. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. So we think about the principles of spiritual growth. This is one of the first. We have to learn to live by faith. But what is faith? Verse 1, Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what is substance? It is like a title deed. If you have a title deed to something, you own it. You have property, something real, somewhere. It reveals that you are the owner of something. So faith has a substance to it. There's some basis for it. We don't have a blind faith where we have no idea whether there's a God or not. We have evidence there's a God. Look at the world around us. Look at the sky. Look at the moon, the stars. Romans 1 says that nature itself shows us or reveals to us there's a God. So there is some evidence. Just the mere thought, where did we all come from? Where did it start? Did we come from a monkey or some mass or amoeba, or did we evolve over millions of years? Or is there evidence that we have a relatively young earth? Is there evidence that it all started with one person or one at one point? Is there evidence of a worldwide flood? See, there is evidence of those things. You can't convince somebody beyond all doubt, but it's not without evidence. There's evidence for anyone that has an open mind and a logical mind. It all came from somewhere. But as we go to Scripture, we have the evidence of the Word of God. We have the evidence of the church. We have the evidence of people who are saved and their lives are changed. So there is evidence to base our faith upon when we get saved. We know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God in Romans 10. So faith comes from the Word of God. Now let's say somebody says, well, I don't believe the Bible. There's an amazing thing about the Bible. Whenever you witness or talk to somebody about the Word of God, they say, oh, I don't believe it, yet they're afraid of it. Why are you afraid of it if you don't believe it? If it's so harmless, why are you afraid of it? Imagine you go to public school and you carry a Bible down the hall. You know, people laugh, make fun of you, but if you give them the Bible, let them carry it, they'd be scared to death. Why? See, there's evidence in the Word of God that helps us to know there is a God. When you hear it and you read it, it has an impact on your life. There are those who really looked at Scripture in a critical way, and yet after they studied the Scripture, became believers. They tried to disprove it, and in their midst, became a believer. So the Word of God gives us evidence. So we should be building our faith on the Word of God. 2 Corinthians in chapter 13 and verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. So 1 Corinthians 15 gives us the gospel in a nutshell. Those first four verses tell us how it's through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that the good news is he died for you. And when we put our faith in him and what he did on the cross, we have salvation. That's where it comes from. It's faith in Christ and him alone. It is faith without anything else. It is not faith plus works. It's not faith plus baptism. It's not faith plus church membership. It is faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. So that faith justifies a man. It produces regeneration. Now we are born of God. We are alive spiritually. We're passed from death unto life. He said, you hath he quickened or made alive that were dead in trespasses and sins. So we were dead, now we're alive. Spiritually awake. Understand and see the world for the way God created it, and to see all the problems with the world around us through the light of Scripture. So it begins with salvation, but then it becomes a lifestyle. There's an old English word that we find in our King James Version of the Bible, and it talks about conversation. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness. And we see that word conversation used several times. We use the word conversation when we have a discussion with someone. But in the Bible, this word, in its true meaning, was a lifestyle. Your conversation was your lifestyle. It's the way you live. It was your philosophy of life. So we know that there is a lifestyle of faith. That's how we live. That's how we make decisions. That's what we do. So when somebody becomes a Christian, they in their mind and their life, it's like, hey, if it's in the Bible, that's good enough for me. I'm going to follow it. If God wants me to do something, that's what I'm going to do. It becomes a lifestyle of living by faith. Galatians 2:20 said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So he gives us the faith to live every day in the Word of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, by sight means we can figure everything out and we can do it in our own power. But when we live by faith, we need God's help. And he'll help us. We learn to trust him. And so we, 1 Corinthians 16:13, he said, watch you, stand fast in the faith, quit you, or be alive, alert, be strong. So we have to learn as a Christian, this is our lifestyle. We're going to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, and depend on him. It is a life of faith. In Colossians 2:6, he said, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So the faith that produces salvation produces faith by which to live. That's how we live as Christians, by faith. Now, we have to make the distinction. We don't live by conjecture. We don't live by superstition, speculation. We don't live by probabilities. It's not just some thought, not something that someone says, oh, you should do this. That's God telling you that. We live based on the Word of God. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit confirms things in our hearts and mind. Don't get me wrong. I believe that he leads us through impressions. But we have to be very careful. Those impressions never violate the Word of God. They're never contrary to the Bible. And when there are impressions of the Holy Spirit, there's confirmation. We find other people who are godly counsels confirm those decisions and what we do. So we have to be careful about the idea, God told me something, or God spoke to me. You know, it may be something that's just wishful thinking. So there's a difference between wishful thinking and faith. And yet there are times where we do something that is very risky, or it's difficult, or it may be dangerous, but yet we know God is leading us to do it. As you go through the Old Testament, there are many examples where God spoke to someone, told him to do something, and it was dangerous. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, there are a number of people that are mentioned. But think about Noah, verse 7 of Hebrews 11. He is being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He heard an audible voice from God, is the way I read that. God clearly showed him, build an ark. It wasn't conjecture, speculation. It wasn't anything except God told him, now he had to do it. That was a big step of faith. First of all, it was an enormous task. How do you build a boat when you don't have any a blueprint? No one's ever done it. Well, God had to show him, here's how I want you to build it. Here's the wood I want you to use. Most likely, he didn't build it all himself personally and had to hire people. It took money. How do you get all this stuff together? And it was the size of the thing was so enormous. I mean, to even the ark in Cincinnati, Ohio, I mean, it took him a long time to build with all the equipment we have today. He did it with all very crude tools. And yet he built that ark because why? God told him to. It was a step of obedience based on what God showed him to do. Abraham and Sarah, they looked for a city. He left. Why? God told him. I want you to leave the Ur of Chaldees. And he walked out by faith, not knowing where it was going to lead him. Sometimes he leads us. We're not quite sure where it's going to take us. We don't always know that. And we go down the list there. But when we get toward the end, it tells us about all these other people. And by the way, Moses, another example. Moses was called of God out of a burning bush. His faith was obedience. His parents, Jochebed and Amram, were by faith hid him away in the bulrushes. Why? Because they knew God had a plan for him. That was endangering their own lives. But they did it by faith. God told them. It was clear. And you go down the list of all these different people, of Joshua going to Jericho, and he said, walk around the building and do it 7 times on the 7th day, and the walls came down. Well, until the walls came down, I don't know how much confidence you would have in what God told you to do. But he did it. He obeyed God, the clear word of God. So others, some of them, great heroes of the faith. Look at verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And by the way, Abraham offered his son Isaac, the promised child, was willing to do so, hoping that he would be raised again. That he did that by faith. Boy, what an amazing step of faith. That was not easy. And others, verse 36, had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, or beat upon, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in the dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They didn't see the full result of it. And that is the way often it is. We live by faith and trust God, but sometimes that faith is evidenced after we're even gone. There are many ministries and works that become great whenever that person is gone. Their faith went beyond. If you've ever been to Moody's building in Moody Church in Chicago, I didn't realize this. Either it was right at the end of his life, or I think it was right after he died. That's when the building was built. It was after him. But his faith influenced a lot of people. So faith is a matter of obedience to the clear teaching of the Word of God or the message that God gives us. There has to be substance. It is a substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. It is exercising the will to obey the clear commands and leading of God. And then our faith is strengthened through opposition. Our faith gets stronger when it's tested. And we see that in Hebrews 11. We see it, many of you can give examples of the same thing. But through trials, through obstacles, it's just food for our faith. You get stronger. Somebody said, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. And there are some times that our faith is tried. Lord, is this really what you want me to do? Is this really where you want me to go? You can be a missionary, you go over to another country. You know, our youngest daughter is in Japan, her family. And it's a difficult thing. You wonder sometimes, are we making any headway? Are we making a difference? Are we where you want you to be? It could be a church planter that's struggling and, man, things are tough, it's difficult. And you think, is this what God really wants me to do? Is this the calling of God? Sometimes those trials are what make us. And you wonder, why did this illness strike me? Why do I have this disability? And it could be the thing that strengthens your faith. Many of our songs in our hymn book come from Fanny Crosby. There had to be times in her life that she could have said early on, why am I blind? This wasn't my fault. Someone did this to me. But yet, her faith through those trials became stronger. And I think she could see things, though she was blind, that other people couldn't see that could see. See, God uses trials in our lives to strengthen our faith. Peter said it this way, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our faith is called a precious faith. Amen. More valuable than gold. It is by faith that God's work goes forward. It's by faith that things get done. It's by faith that missionaries go to the field. And our faith can grow. There are some things that require a step of faith that can be difficult, can be scary, can be fearful. And yet, we take that step and we find out, wow, look at what God did. Look at how God answered. Look at how God provided. And then we think, I can take another step of faith. I can do greater things. Faith promise giving for missions is kind of like that. When a person first starts giving to faith promise missions, they think, wow, I don't know if I can afford to give over and above my tithe. I'm already tithing. But, you know, I'm going to do something. I'm going to make a commitment. You make a commitment. And it's like when you're going into a lake or a pool and you just stick your toe in, you know, just testing the water. And there's sometimes people take that step of faith, but it's just barely a step of faith. It's a baby step. And then after a while you think, hey, you know what? He took care of me. He provided for me. Well, God can do more than that. And you get a little bit farther into the water, and then you get, before you know, you're all the way in. See, God helps us, our faith to grow, and it gets stronger. Colossians 2:6 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We can only trust someone as well as we know them. The more we know Christ, the more we can trust him. The more we study and read the Word of God, the more we trust the Word of God. So our faith can grow. 2 Peter 1, verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So there is a correlation of the Christian's growth and how they exercise their faith. The more we live by faith, the more we see growth in our Christian life. But it has to start at the lower level. We don't have to have great faith right in the beginning. How many great Christians or great missionaries, they've gone to the field, but it didn't start out with great faith. One of the people I think that comes to mind more than anyone is George Mueller. And I always read the biography of George Mueller, and I thought, well, it's amazing. He'd pray, Lord, you got to provide for the orphans, and we don't have the money to do it. And a bread truck broke down outside. And it provided the meal for the day when they had no food at all. Now, that's amazing. And I always thought, you know, some little clapboard building or, you know, maybe 20 or 30 kids. And one day I saw a picture of the ministry of George Mueller. It was a compound of numerous huge buildings. I thought, really? That's amazing. But it didn't happen all in the beginning. It was one step of faith after another. God enlarged his faith. One of the verses that Dr. Lee Robertson always quoted, and he said it over and over again, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Believe God. And near his death, he was asked, what would you do over again if you had an opportunity to do it all over again? He said, I would have more faith. And I thought, here's a man of such great faith. And he said, I want to have more faith. Well, that's part of the Christian life. That's one of the principles, is learning to trust God. Getting to know him that you can believe he'll take care of you. I think sometimes it's a hindrance for people even get saved. They can't trust the Lord. They think they've got to depend on their own life. And they think, I have a friend that he thinks, I can't live the life, so I can't get saved. You have no trust in God then, because he's the one that changes your life. He's the one that makes a difference. We got to get a guest speaker here this week that Brother Tim Young out from Palmyra, New York. And he said, because I went to lunch with him, we were talking, he said, he grew up in that same area, same place as Joseph Smith. So he grew up in that area and now is pastoring there. But he said, as he went in the ministry, people made a comment, who? He's in the ministry? I mean, they couldn't believe it. Knowing him from the past and he's in a ministry, he's a preacher now? You got to be kidding me. I remember one time my sister met somebody that I grew up with, my good friend's his sister, and they were talking. It was a long time ago. And she said, hey, by the way, what's your brother, what's Jim doing? She said, well, he's a pastor. And she laughed, said, no, what's he doing? What's he doing? Why? Because there's a B.C. and then there is a before Christ and there's an after Christ. You know, when you get saved, it changes. We're a new creature in Christ. So our faith can grow. We can learn to trust God, believe God, and depend upon God. The Christian life is a life of faith. Have faith in God. And real faith glorifies God. Real faith honors God. If we're living by faith, he's pleased, because it says it's impossible to please him without faith, then it must please him if we have faith. Don't you think when we live by faith and trust God, that God is pleased and there's a smile on the face of God? Don't you think there's something special with people who are people of faith? We had a great testimony by a missionary Wednesday night, Brother Barkowski down in Trinidad. Just a great service and great blessing. And you can't help but see the video and listen to him talk. You can't help but realize they took a huge step of faith, leaving upstate New York, uprooting their family, going to a place they'd never been, and having a ministry to see people saved, a church established, and preparing to turn it over to a national man to pastor that work. Wow, that's a huge step of faith. But I'm sure he had many little steps of faith to get him to that point. And so we all have to learn. This is part of the Christian life. It's a basic principle. You can't just live by faith. You can't just live by sight. You got to live by faith. So when it comes to our home, our family, our money, our job, everything's living by faith. Now, what if you have plenty of money? What if you have a good job and job security? What if your family is all in, you know, their children are obedient, your husband, wife, love each other? You know, do you really need faith? You better believe it. Amen. You need faith to just obey God. And if we don't live by faith, we're not going to please God. And if we don't live by faith, we may be chastised and go through some trial to help us learn to trust him. The Bible says we should have no confidence in the flesh. And if we take for granted that everything's going good, watch out. Look out above. Something's going to come down. Some of the most spiritual people you ever meet are people in the hospital, people who have some disease or issue or problem. Why? God got their attention. They said, all right, I need you. I realize it. So when we go through these things, we learn by faith. Sometimes there's not a lot going on. So of all the things mentioned in Hebrews 11, except for Abraham, I think they're all just a single event. For the whole life, just one event is mentioned. But there had to be many others. Some of them just the routine of the day. Just getting up by faith and believe that, hey, I'm still alive. God's got a plan for me today. I've got a purpose. I'm going to get in the Bible and read it. I'm going to try and live by it. And got some tracts with me. I want to be ready to give an answer of the reason of my salvation, to give it to someone else. So every day, we have to learn to live by faith and trust the Lord. And there are a lot of days that are routine. We don't want to be in a rut, but we got to remember, every day we don't call fire down from heaven. Every day we don't part the Red Sea. It's not every day the Jordan separates. It's not every day the walls of Jericho fall down. There's a lot of days. It's just another day, but it's still a day of faith. Amen. By faith, I'm going to be obedient. I do my job. I'm going to follow the Lord. That's just as much faith as some great event. It is a lifestyle. A Christian's life is built on the principle of living by faith. Trusting God, believing His Word, obeying the Word of God. And if He leads us and clearly shows us to do something, we do it. Now again, to make one other contrast. I remember a man felt he was single, and he was an older man that was single, but he really believed God had told him that he was going to marry a girl much younger than him. They're both saved. I mean, there'd be nothing wrong, I suppose, with them getting married, but he never had any contact with her. But he told me, he said, I believe God is going to have me, and he repeated it several times, God's going to have me marry that person. I don't know how it's going to work, but I know God told me that I'm going to marry that person. Now, she married somebody else. So did God really tell him that? Was he mistaken? You see, faith is not conjecture, superstition. It's not wanting something to happen. It's not self-effort. It's following the clear command of God. Now, if he'd come to me and said, you know, maybe the Lord wants me to marry that person. All right, I can understand that. He's praying about it. Maybe that's what the Lord wants. But no, it was emphatic. No, God wants me to do this. God is going to bring this to pass. Like it was as sure as he was standing there. He knew God was going to do this. But God didn't do that. So you got to back up and say, hey, what's wrong? Now, unfortunately, that man's not in church today. And boy, he was a blessing. He was a good Christian man. But you see, you can't live your life on conjecture. You can't live it just on endless impressions and thoughts that enter the mind. It's got to be built on the Word of God and faithfulness to the Word of God. And as we learn to live by faith, there's a blessing, there's a reward. We honor God, and we don't know where it'll lead. It might lead to a cross. It might lead to martyrdom. It might lead to great victory. It might lead to many souls being saved. But we know this, He'll be with us. He'll guide us through it. We just trust Him. And no matter what happens, whether it be trial or whether it be victory, we just trust Him. That's faith. Just whatever God has for me, that's what I want. I want to please Him in all that I do. Let's bow for prayer this morning.